So let's take the last three lines of Chaf and Rebbeis. The Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ada Lahutru Pasi Beiros Ela Laole Regalm Bilvad. The discussion we've been having the entire parak about Pasi Beiros is only a heter that can be utilized for Alila Regal. So Gemara says, is that really true? Vahatanya, doesn't the Brisa teach us that Lahutru Pasi Beiros Ela Lagabe Behema Bilvad? So we see that even for animals, just stam animals, lav dafka, nothing to do with Ola Ela Regal. To which Gemara answers, no, my behema, behemas, behemas ole regalm. The animals that are traveling with the people to lila regal, that's the situation where it's permitted. Not for adam traveling, but rather for the behemas that are schlepping the people up to lila regal. Aval adam, with respect to an adam, says the Gemara, going on to daf chaf alef, the Gemara says, metafes ve'ola u'metafes ve'yori. The adam doesn't need a pasi biros. A man could climb down the bore, climb up the bore, and take the water on his own. So Gemara asks, "Ani, is that really true?" V'ha'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Lahutru Pasi Biros Ela Leber Ma'im Chaim Bilvad. The only time we allowed one to rely on the heter Pasi Biros is only with respect to Ma'im Chaim, which is fresh water from a spring. But with respect to a bore, which is a collection of rainwater, that's not allowed. So what's the difference between Ma'im Chaim versus a bore and Meg Shamim? Ila Behemav, the whole heter was for the animals, mali chai mali mechunasim. Who cares whether it's fresh water from a spring or whether it's rainwater that's been gathered together? The animals don't care what water they're drinking. Men, Adam cares. So if it's not for Adam, so it shouldn't be a heter only for be'er ma'im chaim. It should be even a heter for ma'im mechunasim. From the fact that we have a heter only for be'er ma'im chaim seems to indicate it's for the Adam, not for the behema. So the Gemara says no. Ba'inan midi dechazil Adam. Even though it's really primarily for the heter of the behema, the water nonetheless needs to be mutter for Adam. Why? So Rashi explains, Rashi says two lines down from the top here, midi dechazi la'adam, kevin demaim mashrilei mechitza, ba'inan maim chashuvim. Because since the water, right, remember, pasi beros, in a normal case, is not really a mechitza. But there's a special heter by maim, the maim, the fact that there's water there, it actually makes the mechitza into the pasi beros into a real mechitza. So the only type of water that has the ability to create the mechitzos is if the maim is chashiv. What's considered chashiv water? Be'er maim chaim. Maim mechunasim, rainwater, is not considered chashiv enough to transform the pasi biros into mechitza. Now this Rashi requires a little bit of a hesber, why that exactly works, the water really turns it into. So unclear what Rashi really means by this. Tosos has two suggestions, but I'll give at least the first answer. Tosos says the reason why, even though primarily pasi biros is for the behema, the reason why you need the water to be roi le adam is because if there's leftover water after feeding the behema, so then the adam's allowed to drink it. So we want to make sure that that water is fit. That too doesn't fit so nicely, so it's not a real clear reading why this is necessary, but the Rishonim struggle to fit it in. Either way, that's the understanding that pasi biros is, again, particularly for behemas, the behemas carrying the people to Ole Regalim, with the caveat that the water is roi la'adam. So Gemara now quotes, we just said above, Gufa, Lahutru pasi biros ela le behemel bilvad. Aval, we said an adam, there's no heter for an adam to use pasi biros. What should an adam do? Metapes ve'ole, metapes ve'yorid. He should climb down the well and he should climb up the well. He's able to do that while an animal cannot. Vim hayu rechavin, if the wall's ever too wide for him to try to, you know, straddle himself up the wall, he can't do it. So there's a big bore, he can't do this at all. Then afilu adam nami, then you're actually able to utilize pasi biros even for adam to drink water on his ascent to Yerushalayim. V'lo yimali adam maim v'yitein lefnei behemto. Another restriction, the Gemara says, that when the adam fills up water to place in front of the animal, he should not hold it for them, rather, avam emalahu v'shofech lefnei behema v'shosem me'aleh. He should draw the water up and then just pour the water on the ground and let the behema lick the water up from that puddle, but not to serve it to the animal. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Maskev l'Rav Anan, im kein, if all the adam is doing is simply drawing water and spilling it out on the floor, so maho ilu pasi biros, what function, what effect is there from the pasi biros? It's not helping us do anything. Gemara says, what do you mean? Of course, it's maho ilu, what's it doing? Lemalos man. If the pasi biros were not there, so you couldn't draw the water from the bore and then place it into the area around it. You need the pasi biros to allow you to transport the water from the bore. That's allowed. The bore itself is a rishus yachid. You could carry water up and down within the bore. But to take it from the bore and place it on the ground, there you need the pasi biros to allow you to transfer from the bore to the ground. So that's the very simple reason why you need it. So Ella, what it means is ma ho'il rosho v'rubo shapar. Why did we need the restriction that the area of pasibiros must allow the space of the head and of the most of the animal, the cow, to fit in? If you're not serving the water directly to the animal, you're just dropping on the floor, you don't need a certain measurement. Let the animal just slip, drink up the water, even if the cow can't fit in the pasibiros. The pasibiros is for me and you, the adam, to carry the water into the area between pasibiros. The very fact that the cow could fit in or not, who cares? I'm not feeding the cow, I'm just putting it in the water. Let the cow, even though the cow might be outside of the pasibiros, the cow could do what he wants. So the Gemara says no. Amr Abaye, hacha b'maaskin, what's the case here? So the Gemara says, the case in this situation is what we spoke about yesterday's daf. It's not a classic situation. It's not a situation of the animal in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's where the animal's like sticking its head out of the window, and it's a situation be'evus ha'omid Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, gavoa sarah v'rochev arba, where they have this little the trough where it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochan in its own right, but it's jutting out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the rosh of the other end is nichnas lebein apasim, and there's a chashash that Gemara spoke about yesterday that while you're trying to carry the kli, there might be a part of it's broken, and you might slap the kli out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's a very strange case that Gemara is talking about, and that's the situation. But you're right, in general, however, generally speaking, we don't say just take the water and spill on the floor. We only say that when you have this trough where it's like in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But in a typical case, we say bring the cow inside the pasibiros, and you can feed the cow directly. In that case, you do need the space of fitting the cow and its head and most of its body. But this is a strange situation whereby, again, the part of it's inside, part of it's outside. Then we say, you know what? You can't feed the cow. Just pour it in the water, lest you slap the cow, the kli, outside of the passe biros. Okay. So now, halacha maisa, how do we paskin? Actually, we'll get back to the... No, let's discuss this right now. So passe biros, bisman hazeh, how do we paskin? So the din is, there's machlokes we showed on whether or not you could only use passe biros for the purposes of alila regel or for other mitzvahs as well. We discussed this a couple weeks ago. The way the Rif and the Rambam say, the Rif says it's only a heter bizman ha-mikdash when you have alila regel, bizman hazeh, where there is no alila regel, there is no longer a heter of passe beros. The Shulchan Aruch does not bring this down the halacha, implying that he also doesn't think there's any reason to have passe beros because there's no alila regel, bizman hazeh. But there is an interesting discussion whether by a sukkah, could you use passe beros by a sukkah or not? The Rif says you can use it by a sukkah. The Ran argues, and the Ran says you cannot. The only time passe biros works by a sukkah is when you have also alil regel at the same time. Meaning what? Passe biros works for alil regel. So if it's a sukkah during alil regel, so just once the migo, the passe biros works for the boor, it also works for the mechitas of a sukkah as well. So Ran says, since we don't have passe biros legabe the alil regel, memela doesn't work for a sukkah. The Rif says, no, regardless of the function for alil regel, he still thinks it works for other mitzvahs. So even though legabe alil regel, passe biros doesn't work, the Rif actually thinks it does work for sukkah, afilu bizman hazeh. And the Rush takes it one step further, quoting the Rav Yah, that you don't even need there to be water inside the sukkah itself, right? The whole het there was water for alil regel. So the Rush and Rif say, no, you don't need alil regel and you don't need water. You could do it for any mitzvah. You could do it to build a sukkah, possibly else, even if there's no water, no boar there. So that's the Rif's understanding. I don't think we assume halach l'maisa you could build a sukkah with possibly else bizman hazeh, but the Rif and the Rush seem to think one can. Okay, now we're going to go in a little bit of the discussion. We haven't seen this just yet, but there's something with regards to Erev Tchumim, all the measurements of Tchum, of how far you could go. So part of the understanding is you can't go outside the city borders 2,000 amos. Now, how do you define a city border? Let's say it's a square, a circle, a strange shape. So one of the ways you could extend the border of the city, if you have what's called, we're going to see in a second, burgenin. Burgenin to machlokas, what it means, let's just take Rashi's understanding. A burgenin was an area where you have a shomer sitting in a little bit of a booth, watching the fruit or the field. That's considered an extension of the city, and you could actually calculate 2,000 amos from those burgenin. That's the background. So we don't know the full picture because that's a later sugya. But for now, the Gemara introduced this only because we're going to lump together the discussion of burgenin along with passe beros. That's why it comes up right now. So the Gemara now says we're around, 20 lines down in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Amar Rav. Ein burgenin bebavel. There are no burgenin bebavel. We can't rely on them. We'll see why not in just a moment. V'lo passe beros b'chutz la'aretz. Passe biros, which is what we've been discussing all perek, is not usable in chutz la'aretz. Why not? Borgenin bibavelo, these little booths are not usable to extend the border of the cities. Bisman in Babel, why not? Dishchichi bidki. What's bidki? So Rashi explains at the end of Dir Maschil Ein Borgenin bibavel, he explains that bidki is there's a lot of times there were floods. The rivers would overflow and knock out the booths, and therefore, since they're not stable, they're not reliable, you can't use that as an extension of the border. And Pasi Beiros, B'chutz Laretz Lo, you can't use Pasi Beiros in Chutz Laretz, why not? B'lo Shchichi Misifta, they don't have a Talmidei Chachamim learning and traveling from place to place. And the only time we allow Pasi Beiros when it comes to traveling for the purposes of either Alila Regel or to learn in Yeshiva. But since in Chutz Laretz there were no Yeshivas, unfortunately, very little, Pasi Beiros was not a heter one could rely on. Aval ipcha avdin. The opposite would be true, meaning what? Pasi Beiros in Bavel would be allowed because certainly they did have yeshivas, people traveling from yeshiva to yeshiva, so you can use Pasi Beiros in Bavel, and you can use these Borgen in Chutz Laretz where there are no floods, where they are reliable, these booths would actually be somewhat stable. Ikadamri, others say that Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Rav, Ein Burgenin who Pasi Beiros lo beBavel lo beChutz Laretz. They say both of these items don't apply equally, not in Bavel to Chutz Laretz as well. Why not? Burgenin beBavel. Why don't you have Burgenin? These little booths in Bavel lo deShchichi Birki, because as we said above, there are floods and oftentimes these booths would be knocked out. And beChutz Laretz also nami lo deShchichi Ganavi. They're robbers. No one's going to spend the night in one of these booths. They're going to be in danger. Who knows who's going to sneak up on them? So even the booths that were in Chutz Laretz were considered dangerous and not a reliable extension of the border. Upasi beiros bebavila. Why not the shchichi baya? Because the water is very common, and you don't need to rely on a bore. There's plenty of water around to have to. The only time they allow pasi beiros when you came to Eretz Yisrael, where water was very uncommon, and you need a special heter to bring the schlep up from the bore. But in Bavel, where there's plenty of water, there's no reason to rely on pasi beiros around the bore. And Chutz Laretz, Nami Lo, also, you cannot pass Beiros in Chutz Laretz because Lo Shchichi Misifta. They didn't have yeshiva there, so nobody was really traveling from place to place, so it wasn't needed in either of these places. So then comes along Amar Le Rav Chista, Lemari Breid Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, Amri Asisi Mi Barnish LeBei Knisha. Someone had come from Barnish to a Bei Knisha of Daniel. Daniel's shul. To have a tlise parsa b'shabasa, it was a travel, it was a trip of 3,000 parsa on Shabbos, and it was outside the tchum. So amai samchisa burgenin. Why are you relying on the burgenin? He actually understood that you should extend the borders of the city to the burgenin, which would allow you further traveling from the burgenin. So ha amar avu da avuch, didn't the father of your father, meaning your grandfather, mishrei de Rav, quote from Rav, Ein Borgenin bebavel. You can't rely on Borgenin. So according to your calculations, you're completely wrong. You miscalculated. You can't calculate a tchum from the Borgenin. Nafik v'achvilei. He went out and he showed him Hanu Misafta. He showed certain cities that were destroyed, the Mavlin that were subsumed in the city borders, b'shivim ama b'shirayim. So again, we're not getting to all the details right now of Tchum, but apparently these were not just booths. These were actually cities that were desolate, but they were much more, they're stronger, and they're fortified, and therefore you can rely on these places as extension of the cities, and however that calculation works, you were able to walk from those additions. They were not just Stam Borgenin's little flimsy booths. These were cities that were once people lived in with walls and stones, and that can be viewed as an extension of the actual city. Gemara, now we're going to go. Bavel was always viewed as a separate area because there's a Talmidei Chachamim lived there, just like by Gittin as well. The din by Gittin is whenever you bring a shliach get through shlichas, you have to say b'fani nechtam, nechtam, b'fani nechtam. But when it comes to a place of Bavel, it's a place that's lishma. So the different dinim of Bavel versus Chutz Laretz because they were people who were very learned there. So now we're going to go into a very extensive aganata that's going to take us, I think, to the end of the daf. So Gemara to the Gemara says Amar Rav Chista, Darish Mari Bar Mar. My dichse, what does it mean in the pasuk when David HaMelech said in Tehillim, "Lechol tichla reisi kates ruchava mitzvascha mod"? That to the end, there was a deep end, a very far end to a mitzvah. So very unclear what he's talking about. The Gemara is going to tell us he's talking about the mitzvah of Torah. That the Torah has a very large measure to it. Davar ze amru David v'lo pirshu. David explained that the measurement of Torah is great, but he didn't explain to us what exactly the measurements were describing. And just like David said such a cryptic statement, so to Amru Iyav Velo Pirshu, Amru Yechezkel Velo Pirshu, they also said something about the measurements of Torah without explaining. Achibah Zechariah ben Ido Pirshu. Finally, Zechariah came and explained to us the measurements that were being described about these early Nevi'im. So Amru David Velo Pirshu, as we just said in the Pasuk, Dechsev Lechol Tichla, Re'isi Kate, Rechava Mitzvah Meor. I saw the mitzvah of Torah was so great, the end was so wide. But Amru Iyav Velo Pirshu as well, Dechsev, it says in the Sefer Iyav, Aruka Me'eretz Mida, Rechava Mine Yam. It's longer than the land, it's greater, wider than the water, describing Torah. Amru Yechezkel Velo Pirshu, Yechezkel said something else without explaining. Dechsev, he described the Torah as Vayifros Oso Lefanai, it was spread in front of me, Vehi Ksuva Panim Va'achar, it was written in front, written behind. Vekasev Ela Kinim Vehega Vehei, it said something about Kinim, it said something about Hega, Vahi, we'll see what that means in just a second. But he explained how great the Torah was, but without explaining measurements. So what does it mean, Kinim, that Yechezkel said Kinim? Zu Puranus Shetzadikim Bom Hazer, like Lashon of Kinos. Kinos is Kina, terrible things. That's reference to the punishments that Tzadikim receive in this world. The Chenu Omer, it says in Yechezkel, Kina hi bekonin nuha, which is a reference to a Kina being a punishment. And when it said in the Pasuk Yechezkel, it said Kinim Vahege Vahi. What's Vahege? Gemara says Vahege means Zumatan Scharin Shot Tzadikim Lasalaba, referring to the reward that Tzadikim are going to receive in the future. V'cheinu Omer, it says, Ale Higayon Bechinor. Higayon is usually logic, but something gained, something reward. And Vahi Zui Puranus Shot Risham Lasalaba, the punishments that Risham are going to receive in the future. V'cheinu Omer, it says, Hove Al Hove Tavo. Hove means a lashon of breaking. Breaking upon breaking. So it's a reference to these things that we're going to be in the future. Not our focus right now. We're trying to figure out the size of the Torah, whatever that means exactly. So Gemara says, Ad Sheba Zechariah ben Ido upirshu. After David, Iov, and Yechezkel all said cryptic statements about the size and measurements of Torah, Zechariah comes to explain what's going on here. So he says in the Pasuk Dechsiv in the Perek Hei of Zechariah, Vayomer Eli, Mata Aroa, and he says to me, Hashem says to me, what do you see? For Omer, I said, Ani roe Megillah afa aruka. I see a Megillah that's folded over. It's esrim ba'ama. It's 10 amos the rachba esrim ba'ama. It's 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. That's the measurement. Now, a Megillah that's afa is doubled over. So really, when you unfold it, it ends up being 20 amos by 20 now. The 10 turns into 20. V'chi pashta lehavle esrim be'esrim. So now it becomes 20 after you unfold it. And it says further in the Pasuk, we said Yechezkel just above, it says Ksiva, Hiksuva Panim Va'acha, the Pasuk we quoted before, it's written on the inside and the outside. So now on both sides of the Megillah, the 20 amos here, there's writing, and 20 amos on the other side, there's writing. That really amounts to 40 amos wide of writing. So it's 20 amos high and 40 amos long of writing. V'chi Kalaptale, when you kind of, again, peel off each side of writing, it extends itself, Kamahavile, it's Arbain Be'esen. So now it's 40 amos wide to 20 amos high of writing. And Uksivit says further, Mi madad bishalu maim bishamaim bezeres tikein, that the world is the zeres, like the tiny, the pinky finger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, apparently the finger of the amma of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a chatz yam bechatz yamma, whatever that means. It's a half an amma. So to half an amma, the finger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now what happens is the world. Okay, now the world is a zeres bezeres. It's a half an amma by half an amma, which ends up being a square is 0.25. Right, 0.5 times 0.5 is 0.25. So a quarter of a square amma. That's how big the world is in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's measurements. Okay, whatever that means, I don't know. So now taking that math. So now a quarter of an amma that we're trying to get to the size of the Megillah is 40 by 20. That's 800 ammas. So now a quarter of amma, to bring it to one amma, is a quarter times four, gives us a one full amma. So now 800 ammas in Megillah times four is going to be, this next number is going to be what, 20, to be 3,200. Nimsa shekola olam kulo, echad mishloshes alafim umasayim batorah. So the ratio of the world to the Megillah is one world to 3,200 amas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how big it is. And the world, again, relative to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the world is just like a pinky. And the Torah is 3,200 times that size. That's how great the world is. What that means, I have no idea. But that's what we're learning from these psukim. It's something very deep, obviously, Kabbalistic probably going on here. But that's the measurements that the Gemara tells us. Okay, let's go further now about the, it's a bit of a difficult agata as well, the continuation. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chista Darish, Mar Bar Mar, Mar Dechsev, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem. There are two amounts of figs that were lying in front of the Beis HaMikdash. And hadud echad teinim tovos me'od. So one of the cluster of figs were very good. Kitaine, just like the figs, ha bukaros, that are early ripening, very strong, flavorful figs. Vadud ha'echa, the other group of figs, teinim rals, were bad, me'od, very bad. Ashilo techalna me'ro, that one would not eat because it's so bad. So what does this mean, these two figs that's being described in the pasuk? So the Gemara explains that teinos ha'tovos elu tzadikim gemurim, and teinos ha'rals elu risham gemurim. V'shema tomar ovid sivram ubatel sikuyam. So maybe you're going to say that they're going to lose their hope, and there's not going to be any ability to foresee things. So the Gemara says, Tamalomar, Hadudarim Nasu Reach, the Dudam, these groups of figs, these cluster figs are going to give off a smell. Eluv Elu Asidim Shitnu Reach. Even though there's a group of Sadiqim and a group of Risham, even the Risham are going to give off a certain sense, a certain Reach, that they have the ability, they do have hope, they have the ability to have hope and do tshuva. That's what's being referenced in this pasuk. Again, we brought this pasuk simply because this was Joshua in the name of Mar Bar Mar, which I said we had said before. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Okay, I'm not sure what to do this with this either. The Gemara then says further, Darish Rava Maidich, what does the pasuk mean when it says Hadudayim Nasu Reach, that these flowers give off a smell? Elu Bachri Yisrael Shelo Tamu Tamachei. The smell of the young Jewish men, young Jewish boys, who never tasted any chay, they're innocent, they're pure, that's the dudam who give off this reach. V'apsacheinu kol megadim, what does that pasuk mean when it says in Shiashirim, on the entranceway, megadim zashim magid, to tell? Elu benos Yisrael, the young girls, shemagidus pischeim lebalem, they tell when their nidas poseach, when they become a nida, they tell their husbands too that they're a nida now. Lishna achrina, alternatively, she'ogdis pischeim lebalem, that they seal their ogi, leshen eged, they seal their pesach, and they reserve it only to their husband. And that's what that pasuk means. Chadashim gam yishanim dodi tefanti lach, the new and the old together I will hope for. So I look forward to. What does that mean? Amru Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amru Knesset Yisrael, rather, lufnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono she'olam harbe gzeros gazarti al atmi, yoser mimasha gazarti alai v'kiyamtim. More of the gzeros than the Kadosh Baruch Hu made for us, the Chachamim made more gzeros on top of the Torah. That we did so many gzeros, and we're fulfilling all the different gzeros, the old ones, the Yisharim, the old, the Chumash, the Torah, and the new, the Torah Shema Peh, the gzeros and takanos, we're fulfilling all of them. So, so pay attention to us. So you should pay attention to the young Bachrim who've never tasted sin. Pay attention to the Bnos Yisrael who protect themselves. And pay attention to Am Yisrael that we're keeping all the, we're making new gzeros and we keep all the gzeros. So Amar le Rav Chisla, ahu mi derabban, and he said to a certain Talmid Chacham, to have a kamisader agadah kameh that was learning agadah in front of him. Mishmiel Lach, did you hear a drasha, an interpretation about chadashim gam yishanim mahu, what that means, the new and the old? Amar le, so the Talmid Chacham told Rav Chisla, I heard that the chadashim elu mitzvos kalos, the easy ones, and the yishanim, their old ones, are elu mitzvos chamuros. So Amar le, v'chi haTorah pamim nitna, was the Torah given at certain times? Meaning, how can you have an old and a new mitzvah? All the Torah was given at the same time at Har Sinai. Now the truth is, the Gemara does say in Megillah that it was given in piecemeal. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says, Megillah Nitna, that each, Machlokas had to understand that, but each episode, the Torah was given, and some say Chasuma, and there were big events, like three big events, the Arvas Moav, that we were given a big section, and another big section, so it was really given in piecemeal, but I think he means not in terms of the storyline, but in terms of the mitzvahs. All Tariq mitzvahs were given at the same time at Har Sinai. So what do you mean, they're old and new mitzvahs? They're all the same history to them. So what it means is, Ella, halu hein divrei Torah, halu divrei Sofrim. What it means is, the old is a reference to Torah Shvichsav, and the new referring to divrei Sofrim. That's what's referring to the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The Gra has an interesting understanding of the Nusach HaBrichas HaTorah that we say, because we change the tense within the bracha itself, where we say, V'nasan lanu es taraso, V'nasan Hashem gave, and then we say, no sin ha-Torah. And we also say, Asher nasan lanu ataras emes, and then we say, no sin ha-Torah. So was the Torah given to us, or is it being given to us? So the Gra says, the avar was the Torah Shemichsav that was given to us. The no sin, the active, the current one, is the one that is being given to us, is the constant chidushim of divrei chachamim. Okay, the Gemara now says further that Darish Rava Ma'idich said, what does a pasuk mean when it says the Yoser a pasuk in Koheles the Yoser Mehema Bini Hizahir Asos Svarim Harbe? More from this, my dear child, you should be careful of the many, many svarim. Ein ketz, the pasuk goes on to say. What that means is, b'ni, hizar b'divrei sofrim, be careful, not of svarim, of the books, but of the divrei sofrim. Careful of the words of divrei chachamim. Yoser midivrei Torah, more so from divrei Torah. Shedivrei Torah, yesh ben, asei v'los asei. So you violate an avera, you get an X, los asei, an X for violating asei. But divrei sofrim, excuse me, kola over al divrei sofrim chayim misa. They're more stringent. And that if you violate the words of chachamim, one is chayim misa in doing so. So the Gemara says, Shema Toma, perhaps one's going to say, im yesh ben mamish b'bnei ma lo nichtava. If divrei chachamim are very serious, and they're meant to be taken literally, and you really should appreciate them, so why was the Torah, why did the Torah not include them? B'bnei ma lo nichtavu. So Amar Kra also says, svarim harbe ein ketz. Make svarim without any end. So there are many interpretations of what that means is, but one upshot is, according to Rashi at least, Rashi explains here, that because there's too much to write down. I mean, even though we explained just before the Torah was huge, it's 3,200 times the size of the world, but the mice, what we have written down, the Torah could not have included every single gzera that could be, and therefore it's limited. That's why not everything could have been written down. That's one. Now, by the way, this apostate people often quote, how could you write Torah Shabbat Peh? It's also to write Torah Shabbat Peh. Right, the Torah says that Torah Shabbat Chasa is meant to be written, Torah Shabbat Peh is meant to be transmitted orally, not to write it down. But they quote this pasuk in this Gemara that no, the pasuk says asos svarim harbe ein ketz. There should be an endless amount of svarim that you can write. So it's a bit of a stira. Well, how could you write if the Torah says you can't put Torah Shabbat Peh down? The Gemara in Gittin says b'shas adchach, we're able to write Torah Shabbat Peh down. But this is a very important Gemara in regards to the heter of writing Torah Shabbat Peh. You take a look at Tosas. Tosas is something interesting and quite cryptic. Tosas writes, "Mipnei malo nichtivu." Why wasn't Torah Shabbat Peh, all the gzeiros chachamim written in the Torah? The gam ba'alacha l'Moshe b'Sinai lo, and also he adds, why was it not included in halacha Moshe b'Sinai? Okay, don't write it down, but at least transmit it through halacha Moshe b'Sinai, because kadesh lo yishtaklu, so they shouldn't forget. That's what he says. Because if it was all given, all, if you imagine all the Gemara was given, all of it was given to Torah, to halacha Moshe b'Sinai, we'd forget it. So they had to leave some things for the chachamim to kind of figure out on their own and to establish and to write their own svarim, because it was all just simply orally, we would have forgotten things. Now it comes out very interesting, Chavis Yar points out, there's a well-known Rambam in the beginning of Perish Mishnayos. He writes in the Akdama that anything that's halacha Moshe b'Sinai, it will never be a machlokas. Never be a machlokas at all. It will never be forgotten. So Nativ talks about a situation where there are sometimes a machlokas. The Gemara says by Tsroros. If you remember the Gemara's in Baba Kama, if an animal is walking and kicks up a pebble and causes damage, machlokas whether you pay nezek shalem or chatzi nezek. So Tzimcha says chatzi nezek, and Tanakham says you pay nezek shalem. So the Maariv Tchiyas here in the back says, what do you mean? It says the lashon that the tsroros is hilchasa gemirle. Hilchasa gemirle means halacha Moshe b'Sinai. So doesn't the Rambam hold in Perish Mishnayos there can never be a machlokas about halacha Moshe b'Sinai? How could it be? So Nativ says no. Hilchasa gemirle only means halacha Moshe b'Sinai according to Rashi's understanding. Rambam doesn't understand hilchasa gemirle to mean halacha Moshe b'Sinai. It means there's a mesorah. We have a tradition, but not that it dates back to halacha Moshe b'Sinai. It's a certain tradition we have. But anything that what the Gemara says halacha Moshe b'Sinai, there is never machlokas according to the Rambam. The Chavis Yar points out for the Tosos here, Tosos actually indicates that if it were to be halacha Moshe b'Sinai, it could have been forgotten and there could have been a machlokas. So there actually is a very important machlokas between Tosos here and the Irvin, Daf Chaf Aleph, versus the Rambam, whether or not you can have a machlokas about that which is halacha Moshe b'Sinai. Tosos, again, Rambam says it can never have a machlokas, and therefore he limits what's halacha Moshe b'Sinai, and Tosos says you can actually have it, and since you can have a machlokas, and you can forget halacha Moshe b'Sinai, the Torah did not want, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to put everything through halacha Moshe b'Sinai, lest we forget some of these dinim. So just an interesting machlokas to keep in mind. The Gemara now says, further going on, darshening various psukim, the Gemara says, around halfway down the Amud, that v'lohag harbe yigiyas basar. So what this means is a little bit unclear, but Amar Rav Papa Brei de Rav Acha Bar Ada Mishmei de Rav Acha Bar Ula Melamed Shekol HaMalig. Right now the word lahag they think is lag. Lag is to make fun of with an ayin. So they're understanding lahag and lag is the same thing. So malig, anyone who forget who makes fun of the Torah or al divrei chachamim nidon b'tzoa rosachas is going to be punished in a boiling excrement. That's his punishment. Yigiyas bas is a reference to the flesh is going to feel something disgusting. In reference to tzoa. So Gemara says maskivla rava Miksiv lahag with an ayin, lahag ksiv with a hey. Nothing to do with making fun of chachamim. So ella kol ha-hoge behen toem tam basar. Completely different understanding now, completely different turnaround. Rashi explains what that means is kol ha-hoge behen b'chol shah she'adam mechazer b'divrei Torah. Those who continue to chazer and chazer and chazer, learn shasel and shasel and poskim, motzi b'em tam, will always find taste. There's always going to be tam of yigis basar. It's not a punishment of making fun of chachamim. It's actually a reward of continuing to learn divrei chachamim. So the Gemara then says, quotes a story that we know. Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa, teaches us that Ma'isa b'Rabbi Akiva sh'ayachavish b'beis ha'asurim. Rabbi Akiva was thrown into jail. V'haya Rabbi Yeshua ha'garsi misharso, his assistant, was taking care of him. V'chayom v'yom haya ma'achnisin l'mayim b'mida. He would bring a certain measure of water that he could use to wash his hands and drink. So there was enough to drink and to wash his hands to accomplish both of them. Yom echad, one day, matzu shomer b'beis ha'asurim, the ward, the prison ward, saw Rabbi Yeshua bringing water, and Amar lo, Hayom meimecha merubim. Today you have too much water, I see. Shema lachtor beis ha'asurim. Perhaps you're trying to dig, muddy up the dirt to dig a tunnel to leave the jail. Atatzarach. Maybe that's why you need so much water. Shavach chetam. Pour out half the water. V'nasan lo. So he took it, poured out half the water, and returned it back to Rabbi Yeshua. And chetam. Kishaba. When he came, etzel Rabbi Kiva. When Rabbi Yeshua came to Rabbi Kiva, Amar lo. Rabbi Kiva says to him, Yeshua, I'm old. My life depends on your life. How could you bring me half a water? I don't have enough to wash my hands and to drink. Sachla, Rabbi Yeshua told him what happened with the prison ward. He told him the entire event. Rabbi Kiva says, okay, so give me water to wash my hands. I don't have enough to drink, and so I'm going to opt to use the water to wash my hands so I can have my bread instead of drinking the water. So Amalor, Rabbi Yeshua says to him, Lishos ein magin, litu yadecha magin. You don't have enough to drink. How could you put yourself in danger to not drink the water when you need it to wash your hands instead? So Amalor, Rabbi Kiva says to him, Ma'aser, what could I do? She hayavim aleim, misa amchai misa. So if I don't listen to my chachamim, as we'll see in just a moment, that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who instituted the mitzvah of Netiyas Yadayim, how could I go against the divrei chachamim? So in Bichai Misa, Mutav almost Misa's asked me, rather I die a natural death, v'lo'evor adas chaverai, and to go against my chaverim, Shlomo HaMelech. So Amru lotam klum, so they explained that Rabbi Kiva did not taste any bread at Jehevi lo mayim benatul yadav until Yeshua brought him water so that he could wash his hands and also drink. Kishashamu chachamim medaver, when they heard Rabbi Kiva's great Messias Nefesh, Amru, they said, Ma bezeknuso kachiv, is able to accomplish this in his great age, when he's so old and weak and fragile, kach bialduso, how much more so achas v'kamakam, when he's younger and stronger, how much more so was he able to be Moser Nefesh? Uma bebeis asurim kachiv, he's able to accomplish this in jail, where he was so afflicted and weak for so many days of being there, shelo bebeis asurim, when he was strong outside of jail, achas kamakam, how much more so was he careful with Messias Nefesh. So they ask many questions here. How is it true Rabbi Kiva was able to endanger himself? Pikuch Nefesh, it only overrides the big three. This was one of the big three. How could he give his life up almost to not wash hands? That doesn't make any sense. So Kesem Mishnah explains that when it comes to a great tzaddik, a gadol hador, they're able to actually be Moser Nefesh, even in that which the Rambam says, if a person... A person violates an avera, rather he's moser nefesh when he's not supposed to. If he's told, let's say, steal that money or destroy the property or I'm going to kill you, he's supposed to destroy the property. And if he ends up not destroying the property and gives up his life, he's chai misa for doing so. No, he got killed, but he's chai misa bidei shemayim for doing so. Sakir Rabbi Kiva, not wash hands and put him life in danger and be moser nefesh. That's against the Rambam. It's a chiv, it's an iser deraisa. Now, Kiva doesn't have to go against the Rambam, but the Rambam's understanding of the homaisa, how can it be? So Kesem Mishnah says, when it comes to a gadol hador, when a gadol hador like Rabbi Kiva understood that there would be a great breach in Yiddishkeit, if they were to see Rabbi Kiva not wash hands, so you're able to even be moser nefesh in those situations because it's going to be an incredible chil Hashem otherwise. So it's an exception, and Rabbi Kiva certainly fit the criteria of a tzaddik. But it wouldn't be, if it was a shashmad, that's a good quote. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, shashmad, that even the mitzvah kala woman have to be moser.
They're not letting him have enough water for both.
But this, I guess the understanding was this was not a shashmad. Shashmad is when everyone is under persecution. This maybe wasn't the case, I guess. But that would be another answer, I guess. Could be. Okay, Vayter now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. B'shashatikan Shlomo Ervin, when Shlomo was masakin the Indian of Ervin, he instituted the mitzvah of Ervin. If you look at Rashi, you look at Rashi, Rashi's Ervin. He says, Shlomo tikan Erev Chatzeros, not Erev Tchumim, this is Machlokas, but he says Erev Chatzeros. He says, V'gazar shalol lahotzi mershusa yachid v'shusa yachid b'chavero. Really, you could carry from my property to your property. That's really allowed, midiraisa. But he was masakin that you should make Erev Chatzeros to combine everyone's property. And la'asos siyag v'archaka l'isa Torah, because if I could carry from my property to your property, I might end up carrying from the rabbim, the public domain, to my property. So he instituted Erev Chatzeros. Fine. So Shlomo Melech B'shah, back to the Gemara. B'shah Shatik and Shlomo Erevin. V'netir Sedaim as well. The institution of washing hands before eating tyros, before eating bread, whatever the exact mitzvah was. Yatz Sabaskal V'amra B'ni Imchacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gamani. If my son, my Talmud Chacham, Shlomo Melech, makes it to Takana, if he's happy, I'm happy. V'omer Chacham, b'ni v'samach libi v'ashiva, chor fidavar. Akash Baruch Hu was very elated that Shlomo Melech made these institutions. Shlomo Melech was always attributed with the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan. He was the kind of start of the process with the Tiyat Zadayim and Erev Chatzeros, and everything continued from that point. Akash Baruch Hu was very, very happy about that institution. So Gemara then says, another drasha, darish rava. Ma'idich, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Shia Shirim, L'chado dineita hasada nalina b'kfar? We're going to interpret each of these phrases in just a moment. Nashkima l'kramim nira ima parcha gefen pita chasmadar haneitu harimonim sham etenes dodai lach. So each one individually. L'chado dineita hasada. So come, my dear one, come out to the field. Amr Knesset Yisrael l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. Al tideini ki yoshve krachim sheyesh ben gezel rarayas u'shua shav u'shua sheket. Don't judge me. Don't judge me like the people who live in the cities and are violating robbery and arayos and swearing and all that. Don't make me like a person that krochem. Take me out to the sada. I live like I'm in the field. I'm not involved in these averis. Neita sada. Take me out to the field. Ba v'arecha tamid chacham. Let me show you the tamid chacham. She'oskim b'torah mitoch adchak. They're learning the fields. They barely have what to eat and drink, and they're learning. Look at them. Now lina b'kfarim. They sleep in the villages. Al tikrei b'kfarim ela b'kofrim. They go in the kofer, meaning what? Look at the kofer. Look at the kofer, the Torah kofer by Hashem. Bo verecha, let me show you. Zaro shel Esav, the children of Esav, Edom, shehishpatel hen tova fein kofer b'cha, that you've done so good for them, and yet they still kofer with you. Now, shkima l'krumim, let's wake up early to the krumim, to the vineyards, elu bati kenasias, bati midrashos, the shuls, and the beis medrash. V'nira im eparcha gefen, let's go see if the grapes are blossoming. Elu bali mikra, those who are learning psukim, Pita chasmadar, the elu bali of Misha, those the flowers beginning, or the grapes rather, beginning to develop. Heinatsu harimonim, and the ends of the pomegranate are beginning to blossom as well. Elu bali gemara, those who learn gemara. And sham eten es dodi lach, there I'll place my dear one, erecha kvodi v'goli shevach b'ni uvenosa. That's the place you're going to see the beautiful children of Am Yisrael, how they're engaged in limud Torah. That's, in the essence, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Take a look at those people. So Gemara then says, and let's finish off a little bit of this Nagata, we'll probably stop in the middle here. The Amr of Hamnuna Maidich said, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Melachim Aleph? Vaidaber Shloshes Alafim Mashal, that he spoke about 3,000 Mashalim, Vahi Shiro Chamisha V'Aleph, and his song was 15, Chamisha V'Aleph was 1,005, I guess. Yeah, I think. Melamed Shamar Shlomo Akol Davar V'Davar Shal Torah Shloshes Alafim Mashal. He explained that every din of Torah, he explained 3,000 Mashalim or Tamim or reasons behind every single din. Every din of Dini Chachamim, Chamisha ve'elaf tamim, 1,005 different reasons. So Darish Rava, Rava Darish, and Ma'idich, what does the pasuk mean? It says, V'yoseh shayah koreles chacham od, limeidas za'am, v'izen v'chikir tiken masham harbe. Aside from the chachma in the Koheles, there's much more that Shlomo Melech taught the nation. What does that mean? Limeidas za'am, he taught das to the people. He taught them simanim, which are different ways and different interpretations, but one understanding is the different simanim, how to remember things in the Torah. And then, and he was able to compare things to other things, to compare different sugas to one another. That's what it means, das. What does that mean? Amr Ula, Amr Rabbi Elazar, B'tchila ha'isa Torah domeh l'kfifash ein la'aznaim. Initially, the Torah was like a little basket that had no handles. You couldn't hold on to it. It existed, but you couldn't grab onto it. Adje b'shlomo v'asa la'aznaim. Until Shlomo came and made ears, he made some handles, so now you could grasp onto it and hold it and understand it further. Let's go a little bit further. The Gemara then says, "Kfutosava taltalim." What does that mean? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, Milamet Sheish Lejosh Al Kotz VeKotz. Every single little like end, every tagging of the letters, you should darshan. Tali Tilim Shahalachas. You can make piles of halachas from even the kotzim of the letters. Shcharis Ka'oriv, and you will make yourself black like a raven. What that means is B'miyata Motzan. Who you find a person who's going to be Osik and Torah. B'mi Shemashkim Umar V'Aleim, the base measures. Those who wake up early to learn, those who stay out late to learn, they're the ones who are going to become successful in learning. That's what it means. And Rab Amar, Misha Machshe Panav Aleim Ka'oriv, person who darkens his, rather the person who wakes up with the Shachar, with the morning, who wakes up early, that's what it's a reference to. And then Rav Amar, B'mishim Mesim Asmal Achzari Abanav Valpene Beis HaKa'orim. No, you know who's successful in learning? Those who kind of ignore their children and family and go out to the Beis Medrash. As the Orev ignored his children, he went out to do what he needed to do. Talmud Chacham has to somehow ignore his responsibilities at home in order to be successful in his learning. Kihad the Rav Ada Bar Masa Hava Kazil Bei Rav. He would go to the Beis Medrash. Amulei Dveisa. His wife said to him, Yanuka Didach Mai Avidilu. What should I do with your children? You're ignoring your children. Amulei Mishlei Mekurme Bagma. So are there no vegetables in the swamp? Go ahead and find your own food and take care of it on your own. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. I need to do what I need to do. This is not a Gemara for women, but this is what the Gemara suggests to become a Talmud Chacham, is to really spend time in the Beis Medrash and somewhat ignoring the family. Okay, we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.